అన్నం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ వ్యజానాత్ అన్నాద్యేవ అన్నాద్యేవ ఖల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే అన్నేన జాతాని జీవంతి అన్నం ప్రయంత్యభిసంవిశంతీతి అన్నం ప్రయంత్యభిసంవిశంతీతి సంవిశంతీతి తద్విజ్ఞాయ పునరేవ వరుణం పితరముపససార అధీహి భగవో బ్రహ్మేతి తగుంహోవాచ తపసా బ్రహ్మ విజిజ్ఞాసస్వ తపో బ్రహ్మేతి సతపోతప్యత సతపస్తప్త్వా ప్రాణో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ ప్రాణో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ వ్యజానాత్ ప్రాణాద్యేవ 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 ఖల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే ప్రాణేన జాతాని జీవంతి ప్రాణం ప్రయంత్యభి సంవిశంతీతి ప్రాణం ప్రయంత్యభి సంవిశంతీతి ప్రయంత్యభి ప్రయంత్యభిసం ప్రయంత్యభిసం విశంతీతి తద్విజ్ఞాయ
ద రిపీటెడ్ వర్డ్స్ ఓకే ఆల్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ రిపీట్ మెనీ వర్డ్స్ ఆర్ రిపీటెడ్ హియర్ ఇట్ విల్ బి ఈజీ
పునరేవ వరుణం పితరముపససార అధీహి భగవో బ్రహ్మేతి తగుం హోవాచ తపసా బ్రహ్మ విజిజ్ఞాసస్వ తపో బ్రహ్మేతి సతపోతప్యత సతపస్తప్త్వా మనో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ మనో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ మనసో హేవ ఖల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే మనసా జాతాని జీవంతి మనః ప్రయంత్యభిసంవిశంతీతి
विशं विशन्ति इति
तद्विज्ञाय
तद्विज्ञाय
पुनरेव वरुणं पितरमुपससार
पुनरेव वरुणं
पितरमुपससार पुनरेव
पुनरेव
वरुणं पितरं उपससार
उपससार
अधीहि भगवो
अधीहि भगवो
ब्रह्मेति
ब्रह्मेति
तगुं होवाच
तगुं होवाच
ऑल दीस आर रिपीटेशन ऑफ द मंत्रास यू कैन सी इजीली तपसा ब्रह्म विजिज्ञासस्व
तपसा ब्रह्म विजिज्ञासस्व
तपो ब्रह्मेति
तपो ब्रह्मेति
सतपो तप्यत
सतपो तप्यत
सतपस्तप्त्वा
सतपस्तप्त्वा
विज्ञानम्
विज्ञानम्
ब्रह्मेति व्यजानात्
ब्रह्मेति
व्यजानात् विज्ञानाद्येव विज्ञानाद्येव विज्ञानाद्येव
विज्ञानाद्येव
खल्विमानि भूतानि जायन्ते
खल्विमानि भूतानि जायन्ते
विज्ञानेन
विज्ञानेन
जातानि जीवन्ति
जातानि जीवन्ति
विज्ञानम्
विज्ञानम्
प्रयन्त्यभिसंविशन्तीति
प्रयन्त्यभिसंविशन्तीति
तद्विज्ञाय
तद्विज्ञाय
पुनरेव वरुणं पितरमुपससार
पुनरेव वरुणं पितरमुपससार
अधीहि भगवो ब्रह्मेति
अधीहि भगवो ब्रह्मेति
तगुं होवाच
तगुं होवाच
तपसा ब्रह्म विजिज्ञासस्व
तपसा ब्रह्म विजिज्ञासस्व
तपो ब्रह्मेति
तपो ब्रह्मेति
सतपो तप्यत
सतपो तप्यत
सतपस्तप्त्वा
सतपस्तप्त्वा
सह तपः तप्त्वा हैविंग डन द प्रॉपर एन्क्वायरी इंटू द ईच लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी एंड ही अरेव्ड एट दट कॉज ऑफ ईच लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी द इंडिविजुअल लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी इज द टोटालिटी ऑफ दैट देयरफॉर ही अंडरस्टैंड्स दैट ब्रह्मन एंड द कॉज ऑफ एवरी लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी ऑल्सो the individual layer of personality the cause of the individual layer of personality being the totality and if when the here the totality also undergoes changes not to become the individual therefore what the every anything which undergoes a change is only karyam only effect for yadyad vikaryam tattat karyam yadyad vikaryam tattat karyam anything which undergoes a change is definitely an effect because effect alone undergoes a change isn't it cause undergoes change effect undergoes a change now anything undergoes a change is an effect if it is an effect means it is not an absolute cause it is not an absolute cause therefore brahman is not that if this totality also he negates all of them as anatma the mithya then he arrives at what now he goes to the last vijnanam brahma and he analyzes that he samashti vijnanam is the karanam and from which alone vyashti vijnanamayaha comes into existence and vyashti vijnanamayaha kosha is sustained by samashti vijnanam and the vyashti vijnanam again resolves in samashti vyashti vijnanamayaha resolves in samashti vijnanam only there's no nothing goes outside of anything here. Therefore, he understands what Brahman is not the samashti vijnanam also, which is Hiranyagarbha. Which means tapaha taptva. Having analyzed this very well, then what is then this Atma? What is this Atma? He knows Atma is, isn't it? Atma is Brahman, he has to arrive at. What is this Brahman? What is this Brahman he has to know now? He has negated all of them. Now what is Brahman now? He is going to say, first he now, what is Atma? Through this Panchakosha Viveka, he arrives at what is Atma. And what is Atma for him? Earlier he has studied Ananda Atma. Has earlier we have already seen, isn't it? Ananda Atma. Now he understands Anandaha Atma, then Anandam Brahma. That Anandaha Atma, Anandaha is Brahman, therefore Atma is Brahman. What is that? Anandaha Atma. And we can say Atma is Anandaha. Brahman also is Anandaha. Therefore, Atma is Brahma. Has arrived at it now. And here you have to understand how he resolves. See, anything, the cause is always subtler and the effect is what now? Always grosser. Cause is subtle, effect is gross. From the standpoint of the cause, effect is grosser than the cause. So here, without death, now you see, the pranamayaha is what now? Pranaha, samashti pranaha is subtler than the samashti annam, samashti gross matter. So samashti vyashti, pranamayaha is subtler than the samashti vyashti, this annamayaha koshaha. Now because the pranamayaha stands for what now? Activity. The pranaha, the energy, the pranaha and the sense power, the powers, sorry, powers of organs of actions, they all stand for activity. So activity, the performance, actions are possible only if there is what now? Manomayaha, desire, isn't it? Without the desire, no action is possible. It is no need, the desire is not there in the mind, no action is possible. Desire must always, thought must be there, only then a physical activity is possible. For the physical body to be active, what must be there? The powers of organs of actions, physiological functions must be active, only then the body can be active. And for them to be active, for the activity to be there, there must be desire, isn't it? Therefore, manomayaha is subtler than the pranamayaha. And for the desire to be there, always there must be knowledge. Without the knowledge, no desire is possible. Knowledge of the object. If there is available, this is available there, that is here, isn't it? Now, the desire to eat also is possible, only if people know what? Vasanta Amma has brought some food for all of us. Only if you know, then there is a desire. First you should know, you are all ignorant. There is no desire for you to eat before. Now I tell you, I reveal a secret to all of you. He has brought some food. Now knowledge is there. What is knowledge? There is some food. When the knowledge is there, then desire to eat will be there. Then definitely after 12:30, you will all just walk out and then eat. What I am saying here. So always activity is preceded by desire. Desire is preceded by knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is subtler than even the manomayaha, the thought, desire, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge, vijnanamayaha is subtler than manomayaha. Manomayaha is subtler than pranamayaha. And pranamayaha is subtler than annamayaha. Therefore, all these different layers of personality, isn't it? Just you go like this and you resolve everything and samashti vijnanam is the cause for, is what now? This vyashti vijnana mayaha, because no mayat, anything, any individual thing is a part of the totality. Therefore, it must be taken as an effect of that totality only. And when he analyzes this, anandamaya koshaha, the bhriguhu leaves, skips it, but he straightway he goes, says what now?
ஆனந்த ஆத்மா ஆனந்தம் பிரம்மே திவ்யஜா.
We have to go to read it now. But I said, we just saw in the class before that, we have to analyze that ஆனந்தமயா கோஷா also. What is ஆனந்தமயா கோஷா? The dormant personality. The dormant, the layer of personality is called what now? ஆனந்தமயா கோஷா. So, physical personality is the first layer of personality. Then again, subtler is what now? Physiological layer of personality, psychological layer of personality, intellectual layer of personality. Then you are going to this even dormant personality. Dormant means what? The knowledge is pure. Okay? Avyakta Shaktihi. Avyakta Shaktihi is what now? Dormant personality. There's a Vyakta Shaktihi, Avyakta Shaktihi. Vyakta means manifest power and unmanifest power. What is it, unmanifest power and Vyakta Shaktihi? Whose power is it? Who is the owner of the power? Who has that power? When I say Suryasya Shaktihi, no? Suryasya Prakashaha, the light of the sun, heat of the fire. When I say, no, heat of the fire, light of the sun. When I say, the sun and the light are inseparable. Or illumining power of the sun. Illumination, the power of the sun. Burning is the power of the fire. Can you separate the burning power, the illumining power? No, that's a power. And the inseparable power is what? Swarupam. Inseparable power is the swarupam. I want you to understand the meaning of the Sanskrit Shabdaha swarupam. Swarupam, because the word swarupam means, always people take it with subtlest sense. What the word swarupam means? Innate, inseparable nature is the what we say now, swarupam. Now I give the grossest example here. Sun is what now? Suryasya Prakashaha. Okay. Or Prakashana Shaktihi. Prakashaka Shaktihi, Prakashana Shaktihi. The power of illumination and the sun are inseparable. Isn't it? The Dahana Shaktihi, the power of burning, and Agnihi, fire, are inseparable. So what is Dahanam now? The Dahana Shaktihi and fire are inseparable. The power of burning and fire are inseparable. When I say, what does it mean? The burning power is fire. Burning power is fire. Are they two different things? The power of illumination is the sun. These are different. Power of illumination is the sun. The power of burning is what? The burning power is the fire. Is it clear? Similarly, now I say the manifest power and unmanifest power. Okay? The power of which? The power of the reality Brahman. Power of the reality Brahman. How illumination, illumining is the power of the sun, burning is the power of the fire, and burning power is the fire, illumining power is the sun. Similarly, the power of the reality is what now? Power of the reality is reality. The power of the reality is the reality. What is the power of reality? The power of the reality is the power of knowledge. Okay, power of knowing. Knowing power. Okay, therefore, knowledge is the power. Illumination is the power of the sun. Burning is the power of the fire. So, knowledge is the power of the reality, Brahman. Then next step I say, the knowing, the burning power is fire, illumining power is the sun, power of knowing, knowing power is the reality Brahman. The word knowledge is Brahman. Illumination is sun, burning is fire, knowledge is Brahman, the reality. Okay, next step. This knowledge is manifest, and knowledge is, but no, when the knowledge is not manifest, manifest knowledge is vyakta shakti, pure knowledge is avyakta shakti. Pure knowledge is avyakta shakti. And what is it, manifest knowledge? How do you know manifest knowledge? I tell you here, whenever knowledge is manifest, the shakti is manifest, okay, then there is experience. Experience of the external world. When the world is experienced, the experience of the world, only then there is experience of pairs of opposites, likes and dislikes. No, can be reduced, all the pairs of opposites can be reduced to experience of pain and pleasure. Okay, when the knowledge is not manifest, or we say the power of reality is not manifest, then there is pure knowledge. Is it? When the knowledge is pure, the knowledge is not manifest, there cannot be experience. When there is no experience of the world or anything, there is no experience of pains and pleasures. So absence of experience of pains and pleasures is what? Bliss. Okay? And to understand this, we have to analyze only your deep sleep state experience. What is bliss? Okay, that is why we say total ignorance is bliss, we say, because when the knowledge remains pure, there is no manifestation of knowledge at all, then what is there is what? Pure knowledge. Pure knowledge being not available for transaction, we also call it what now? The pure knowledge is, the knowledge remains pure, we call it what now? The power of reality is unmanifest. Okay? So we say, for that, when there is knowledge, I am, when the knowledge, the universe is, I itself is what? Manifestation of knowledge. In deep sleep state, we nobody says I. Not only saying I, do not know you are in deep sleep state. Which means there's no knowledge manifest. And there's no knowledge the universe is. That is why in deep sleep state, the knowledge is pure. Which means there's no knowledge I am. There's no knowledge the universe is. Therefore, you cannot study Vedanta and understand who you are, what the universe is also in deep sleep state. You have to be awake for you to be able to study, listen, and understand to know what you are, who you are, what this universe is, isn't it? How can you know what you are, what this universe is, when you do not even know what you are? Isn't it? If that is possible, all of you, I can put all of you to sleep, I can keep talking. Isn't it? So, it is not possible. So, there must be the knowledge I am, half knowledge must be manifest. Then you can be taught further, and you can be taught what? What you are also. When you know I am, and if you also know what you are, you are, and you also know what you are, the knowledge is complete. And if you know the universe is, then if you also know what this universe is, the knowledge is complete. It's like, it's again, simple example, the wave knows that wave is water, and the wave also knows what? The entire ocean is water. The entire ocean being water also becomes known as it were. Isn't it? Similarly, this half knowledge becomes what? Total knowledge. I am is half knowledge. I am Brahman, total knowledge. The universe is half knowledge. The universe is Brahman, is total knowledge. Okay, in total knowledge, when there is knowledge, okay, I am, this half knowledge is manifest, and you are able to, what now, you have to make effort to make your half knowledge total, then what now, when the total knowledge is manifest, there is happiness, which is fullness. Okay, when the total knowledge is unmanifest also, the total knowledge is unmanifest. Okay, the knowledge is the power. There is no power other than knowledge. Knowledge, jnanameva shaktihi. Because maya, we are all learning before something different. Now we have to learn it to go up. There is no power other than jnanam, knowledge. Knowledge is the shakti, jnanameva shaktihi. Understand now? Therefore, when the knowledge is totally, knowledge remains as pure knowledge, when there is no manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? Then there is bliss. Ignorance is total. What is ignorance? Knowledge remaining pure knowledge. Knowledge being not manifest. Knowledge is the power of reality. The knowledge, when it is unmanifest, that is called what now? Said to be ignorance. Understand now? In total ignorance, there is bliss, absence of experience of pains and pleasures. In total knowledge also, there is absence of experience of pains and pleasures, which is happiness. Okay? Whereas only in half knowledge, you have what? Experience of both pains and pleasures. Is it clear? Therefore, how do we know? So there is no experience when you say that experiencelessness itself is what? An object of experience. Isn't it? There is no experience of pains and pleasures. Absence of the experience of pains and pleasures itself is an object of experience. Why there is, that is called experience of bliss. Why there is no experience of pains and pleasures? Because there is no experience of the external world. Why the external world is not experienced? Nor is there experience of the dream world. Why there is no experience? Because for the experience to be there, there must be manifestation of knowledge. As what? As I am, the universe is, the knowledge must be manifest. This manifest knowledge is not manifest in deep sleep state. Why? Because knowledge is there, manifestation of knowledge alone is not there, because the manifesting media, the thoughts are not there. Thoughts are resolved. This is why you must study Tattva Bodha, should remember very well. I do not talk about the function of mind and all. If you remember how my mind functions, when I say thoughts are resolved, immediately you will understand what it is. Thoughts are the manifesting, thoughts, no, mind functions. And when mind becomes non-functional, thoughts are resolved, manifesting medium, reflecting medium being not there, there is no reflection of consciousness or manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge is not manifest. When there is no manifestation, there is no experience. There is no experience, there is no jagat. Jagat is as well as non-existent for you, isn't it? Therefore, this will be the, what now, this is how in waking, in everyday sleep, how you are, the same way you will be after death also. And in death also, you will be like how you are in sleep. And in Mahapralayaha also, you will be how you are in sleep. So you will be Kodamulungi, Swamiji says, you will be there, nothing will happen to you. You what? No, you're always there. Day after day after day after day. After sleep, you come back. You come back. So also, you will be coming back after death also. Even after, if no, deluge after deluge also, you will be coming back. You will not go anywhere. Okay? You will be very much there. And you are the eternal being. There's no waste, no such thing called less. No. Okay, that's why he says, that means, what is that in deep sleep state is what now? That which is object of experience. What is that which is experienced in deep sleep state? No? Two vrittis are there. The two, no? Total ignorance. I do not know I am. You can't say when you're sleeping, okay? On waking up, you say, I did not know anything. I did not have any experience. I did not know I was. Means what? You knew that nothing was there. Isn't it? This knowledge of, there is some experience of experiencelessness, experience of ignorance, experience of knowledge being not there. Therefore, that experience being there, and what is that, because of which presence, whose presence, that experience is possible, knowledge is possible, we say what? Experiencer, the Sakshi. Sakshi, the witness, is different from the witnessed. What is witnessed? Bliss is witnessed. The knowledge being unmanifest is witnessed, which means the witness is different from the witnessed, and the witness is the pure knowledge. Okay? And the pure knowledge is a what? Brahman. And the pure knowledge is the existence, and pure knowledge is Anandaha. He does not use the word pure knowledge. Okay? He says that is different from, because in bliss also is what now? Time bound experiential sukham only. Bliss also is sukham. Time bound experiential sukham. Once you wake up, it goes. Therefore, what is that non experiential source of sukham is Anandaha. That is consciousness, Atma. Therefore he says, now he arrives at this, now, what does he say, Bhrigu? Look at this. Anando Brahme Devyajanat.
Anando
Brahme Devyajanat. Anandaha Brahma. Atla he arrived at now. Anandaha Brahma. Okay, so the Panchakosha analysis helps you to arrive at Atma being Anandaha. And then, already Upanishad what now? Anandam Brahma. Therefore, now you have to do this what now? What is it, Brahman? The definition of Brahman is given. Brahman is that from which everything has come into existence, by which everything is sustained, and into which everything resolved. That is Brahman. And that Brahman is Ananda Atma. You have no Mahavakyam, isn't it? Mahavakyam is what now is I equated here. This, the Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma. The Atma, the self, the innermost essence of an individual, which is the pure consciousness, which is pure existence, which is distinct from the five layers of personality. Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma. Panchakosha Vilakshanaha, the word Vilakshana is very important. The Atma is what? No, the pure knowledge, distinct from the manifesting medium, the mind. Distinct from the manifest, isn't it? Distinct from the objects of experience. Distinct from even the experience is what? No, that Atma, Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma. The self which is distinct from all these five layers of personality is the consciousness Anandaha, which is of the nature of limitlessness. That consciousness is Jagat Karanam Brahma. What is the... He gives clue, no? The teacher gave clue. He gave a few words as a clue words. Brahma Upalabdhi Dwarani. He gave some words. And through that, he expected the student to arrive at that, make the Panchakosha Viveka, an enquiry into the five layers of personality. And he also mentioned that he gave the definition of Brahman. So what he arrived at now? This Panchakosha Viveka, the analysis which the student has done, through this analysis of Panchakoshas, he arrives at the self being distinct from all the five layers of personality. And that Atma, the self, the pure consciousness, which is distinct, pure knowledge, which is distinct from the layers of personality, is in fact Brahman, from which alone, or Brahman which is the Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam of Jagat. And now, Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam of Jagat, the Brahman, is in fact Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma. Is it clear now? This is the equation. So, Jagat Karanam Brahma, the Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam of the Jagat, the Brahman, is equated to, what is equated with, what now? The Atma, which is the distinct from all the five layers of personality. How? Brahma Anandaha. What is Brahman? Brahman is Anandaha. Reality is of the that which is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness. And what is Atma? Atma is that which is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, if Atma is Anandaha, Brahma is Anandaha. Now, Atma is Brahma. That is, A is equal to B, B is equal to C, A is equal to C. You have to arrive at. So he tells us that. So Anandaha Brahma iti vyajanat. He arrived at Brahman. Anandaha is Brahman. Anandadeva kalvimani bhutani jayante. Kalvimani bhutani jayante. Anandadeva. Swaras, I had to teach you separately swaras.
Anandadeva
kalvimani bhutani jayante.
Kalvimani
bhutani jayante. Anandena jatani jivanti.
Jatani jivanti. Anandam
prayantyabhisam vishantiti.
Prayantyabhisam
vishantiti. Okay, anandam prayanti abhisam vishanti iti. Now he arrives at. Okay, how does he arrive at that Anandaha is Brahman? Because he knows that pure knowledge, the witness consciousness, is the existence of the Jagat. Therefore, witness consciousness is the pure existence. Pure knowledge is the pure existence. And this pure knowledge, pure existence is Brahma. But because earlier he has understood, no, Ananda Atma Brahma Pucham Pratishtha. He's already understood Anandaha is Atma. And now he knows this Anandaha, there's no other cause. Anandaha Atma, how does he arrive at? Because there's no change.
There is no change or whatsoever on the part of Anandaha, the consciousness. Here, Anandaha is a synonym of the word knowledge. Fullness is a synonym of the word consciousness. Fullness, consciousness, existence are all synonyms. They mean the same vastu only. The pure knowledge is the pure existence. Pure existence is the fullness actually. There is no other fullness. There is no other limitlessness. Okay? This is swarupam only. The swarupam of the reality. In what form is the reality? In what form is the fire? Okay? A burning power is fire. Illumining power is the sun. Because there are gross examples. In subtlest when you say, in what form is the reality? Pure knowledge is the form of reality. Therefore, pure knowledge is the swarupam, pure knowledge is the reality, and pure knowledge is pure existence, or you can say pure consciousness, what now, is the fullness also. Why? Because the knowledge doesn't undergo any change. Okay, knowledge is there, and not knowledge is not dependent on anything. Knowledge has independent existence. What is that which has consciousness has independent existence? If it has independent existence, means what? It is not an effect. If any effect has dependent existence, consciousness has independent existence, therefore consciousness is not an effect. Because it is not an effect means it is the, what no, it is not an effect means uncaused. Uncaused means it is a causeless. Causeless means it is self-existent, which means absolute cause. And this Brahman alone, this Anandaha, which is pure consciousness, is what actually? Brahman. How do you arrive at Brahman? Jagat Karanam is Brahman, which means existence of the Jagat is Brahman. And the existence of the universe Brahman is nothing but manifest existence. And the manifest existence is what? Pure existence. What is the pure existence? Pure existence is pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? Pure knowledge is of the nature of fullness. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is not an effect. Therefore, it is a causeless. Therefore, it is uncaused. Therefore, it is what now? Absolute cause. Absolute cause. It is the uncaused causeless. Therefore, it is not an effect means the self-existent. And the self-existence is what? Brahman. But therefore, Brahman is the Jagat Karanam. Is it how he arrives at it? Okay, we have to understand this Karanakari Sambandha, he analyzes that. Therefore, Anandam Brahma iti Vyajanat. So that, therefore he says, Anandatihi eva kalu imani bhutani jayante. All these beings have come into existence from Anandaha Brahma. Anandam Brahma, then that only by Brahman, anandena jatani jivanti, all these beings which are born are sustained by that Brahman, and they resolve into that Brahman. Anandam prayanti abhisam vishanti, and where do they resolve, where do they go back? They go back into Brahman, and all the namarupas, they resolve in Brahman only. Now, this is iti. What now? This is the vision. What is the vision here? We have to remember here, Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma is what now? Jagat Srishti Sthitilaya Karanam Brahma. He gave the clue words first. You have to say, Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Atma Jagataha Srishti Sthitilaya Karanam Brahma. You know, the Atma, the conscious, the self, the innermost self of an individual, distinct from all the five layers of personality, is in fact the only causeless cause of this universe. Efforts what now? You have arrived at the Jiva, the Atma, Brahma, Aikyam. It is Aikya Jnanam. You have understood, arrived at the oneness of the reality, oneness of the truth, a non-duality of the reality. When you say this, Jagat Karanam Brahman is the Atma, and Jagat and Jagat Karanam, are they two different things again? Is it first you resolve the Jiva, Brahma, Aikyam, then you have to resolve what now? Jagat, Brahma, Aikyam also. Atma is Brahman, finished, resolved. Then what is there now? Jagat and Brahma. You shouldn't even say Jagat and Brahma. Why? Because Brahma is Jagat Karanam. Jagat is Karyam, means they are not two different things, isn't it? Karanam is Satyam, Karyam is Mithya. Brahman is as good as the cause. Jagat is as good as the effect. Why? Because Jagat has no independent existence without Brahman. Therefore, we have to resolve what now? Resolve the Karyam in the Karanam. Karanam alone is Satyam. Karyam is as though. When you say, you resolve the Jagat also in Brahman, now you have to say, what is there is only secondless, non-dual reality, Brahman. Satchit Anandam Brahma. Okay? It becomes clearer. Don't worry. Now, this vision of this Panchakosha Vilakshana Atma being Jagat Srishti Sthitilaya Karanam Brahman, this vision of the oneness of the reality of an individual and the total is what now has been given by the teacher Varunaha to his student and a son, Bhrguhu. Therefore, this knowledge is called what? This Brahma Vidya is called Bhargavi Vidya. Bhruguna Prapta Vidya, Bhargavi Vidya. And because Varunena Datta Vidya iti Varuni Vidya. Don't think anything. The knowledge given by Varuna is Varuni Vidya. And obtained by this Bhrigu is called Bhargavi Vidya. So, Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. Saisha Bhargavi Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. Varuni Vidya. Parame Vyoman. Parame Vyoman Pratishthita.
Pratishthita.
Ya evam veda. Ya evam veda. Pratitishthati.
Pratitishthati.
Now, this vision. Vidya means here vision. What is the vision here? The vision of the oneness of the reality, of the individual and of the universe is what now? Is the Vidya. This Vidya has been got by Bhrguhu. Therefore, it's called, vision is called Bhargavi Vidya. Vision has been given by the teacher Varuna. Therefore, it's called Varuni Vidya. And this Vidya, this vision, one gets where? How many says there's no dental knowledge and intellectual and all those things? Here always knowledge is what? Only in your own mind. And where do you arrive at this Brahman? Garbhagraham. Sanctum sanctorum. In your own mind, isn't it? That's why Parame Vyoman Pratishthitana. Parame Vyomni Pratishthita. Paramam Vyoma means what? The great space. Not a great space. Paramahamsa Universe, the mind is what now? The mind located in the heart is the actually this mind, and that mind alone it remains installed, because where there is manifestation, there alone, okay, manifesting medium alone should go and search for, isn't it? What is the manifesting medium for jnanam? Antakaranam. Is it mind is the manifesting medium? So vrittis of the mind, the vrittis which form the mind, isn't it? Vrittis which are the mind. The functional mind is called vrittis. Okay, the mind itself is, what is this mind? In fact, it is wrong to say mind is a flow of thoughts. Mind is the subtlest form of matter. Subtlest material is mind. Subtlest material. And the vritti is that mind, it is functional mind, what now, has vrittis. The thoughts. The thoughts are, thoughts indicate the mind being functional. The thoughts are resolved, mind is non-functional mind and a functional mind. So if mind is functional, the thoughts are there, then vrittis are manifest. With vrittis are there, then in the vrittis, the reflection of consciousness is possible. Isn't it? Manifestation of consciousness is possible. Mind is the only subtlest material wherein the manifestation of reality is possible. No other material product is capable of having the manifestation of the reality because of the grossness. Therefore, mind is the, that's why you say it's installed there. Pratishtita, parame vyomni pratishtita. And therefore, the reality, the jagatkaranam Brahma, is available for recognition in your own mind as the very substance of the substantive I. I is what? Manifest knowledge. Manifest knowledge means what? Which is inseparably with the manifesting medium, the thought. And there you have to separate cognitively the manifest knowledge from the manifesting medium thought, and you have to say what now? Substance of the substantive I is the manifest knowledge, and the non-substantial is what? The thought, manifesting medium. And the manifest knowledge is pure knowledge. Okay? Manifest knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. Any reflection is what? Pure knowledge only, pure original face only, isn't it? Any reflected face is original face. Original face is not the reflected face, but the reflected face is original face. So manifest knowledge is pure knowledge. That's all. Understand? Therefore, if I say the mic is, light is reflected light. The take away the mic, pure light. Is it clear? There is no thing called pure light, manifest light, reflected light. Just the light. I have been telling this many times, I told you this. But I'm repeating it again. Light by itself is what? Just the light. But I give from the standpoint of the mic, in keeping with the presence and absence of the mic, the opaque mic, this light becomes qualified. In the absence of the mic, light is pure light. In the presence of the opaque, light is known as reflected light. There is no reflected light, there is no pure light, just the light. Understand? Similarly, there is no pure knowledge and manifest knowledge. In the presence of thought, knowledge is said to be reflected knowledge, consciousness. In the absence of thought, pure knowledge. Is there pure knowledge, impure knowledge, reflected knowledge, manifest knowledge? In keeping with the presence and absence of the vrittis, the knowledge is pure or manifest. But in the absence of vrittis, when it is not manifest, it is what now? Not available for transaction. Non-transactable knowledge, non-transactable consciousness is what? Is not non-existent, okay? Is said to be what? Power, unmanifest power. Non-transactable knowledge or consciousness is said to be unmanifest power. And transactable manifest knowledge is said to be manifest power. And manifest power is vibhuti. What is vibhuti now? The manifest knowledge is vibhuti. Anything experience is what? Any experience, any object of experience is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore it is vibhuti, glory of knowledge. Is it clear? Now he says, whoever has got this vision, what, which vision? This vision of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, microcosm and the macrocosm, that wish, that person,
ya evam veda pratitishthati, ya evam veda pratitishthati.
If Upanishad says, you attain moksha definitely, isn't it? Now, vision of the oneness of the truth means what? You resolve your individuality, no, identity, you don't know more isolation, resolve all the wrong notions, so moksha from, freedom from all the wrong notions about the self is what? Freedom actually. And freedom from emotional dependence, which is jivan muktihi. Not only jivan muktihi, Upanishad always has to say something more. What is interesting for us? That also you get. Not only you get moksha if you have this vision, plus you have all these things. Isn't it? You have to say, when they will be interested. Nowadays what happens? If people come and tell you, practice yoga. Yoga is very good for health. No, yoga is, if you practice yoga, it is actually practice of any ashtanga yoga is for disciplining the mind mainly. But they have to say what now? It reduces blood pressure. What is the main aim of the yoga? Is not reducing the blood pressure. Okay? The main aim of the practice of yoga is to discipline the mind, preparing the mind for contemplation. That is the ultimate. Because contemplation is not, discipline of mind is not that easy. That is why yoga is what now? Yoga means anything you do, if it contributes for this contemplative disposition of the mind, it's called yoga, isn't it? So we have Ashtanga yoga also. Okay, you don't know anything, at least practice all these things with focused attention. At least this will take care of your mental discipline. But now what do they do? If somebody comes and tells you, you practice Ashtanga yoga, you will have contemplative disposition of the mind and you can contemplate, you can know the truth, then you can attain moksha, jnanam. Who's interested? Reduce the blood pressure. The queue, people all will go. So huge, you know, all Crystal Palace Hall will be full for the classes. Why? Because it reduces the blood pressure. Cholesterol will go. People all will go. Say Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is what now? Advaita Amruta Varshinim. It showerer of the nectar of non-duality. Bhagavad Gita showers the vision of, gives you the vision of non-duality, in having which vision you will see yourself being full and limitless and free from all limitations. That is the purpose. If somebody comes and tells you that, who will study Bhagavad Gita? Gita and management, it says, crowd will follow, all huge, big, or bureaucrats, aristocrats, and all big, and all the so-called, the big people and the big classes, and then there's something different. Gita and management. Why? Because this is how they take what you want. I have to give you to make you come to me. Okay? For me to give you what I want to give. If you don't come to me, how can I give you what I want to give? I have to make you come to me first to give you what I want to give. I have to advertise, market it. I am giving you what you want. So Upanishad also does the same thing. Look at this, marketing tactics you have to learn from Upanishad only. Look at this. If one who knows this, one who has this vision, if he attains freedom, we know. Brahma vida apnoti param. Earlier itself, first promise is what? Once you know Brahma, you know you will be free, isn't it? But now he says, annavanan ado bhavati, annavanan ado bhavati. One who has his vision becomes what now? Blessed with abundance of food. Annavan bhavati. Because everybody is smiling now. Annavan, nobody is sleeping now. We can, in the next session, we can really relax. Annavan bhavati. One has abundance of food. Doesn't mean, okay, I have lot of food. I have got everything to eat at home. My cholesterol, blood sugar, and that problem, I can't eat anything. Okay, in many houses it happens. The people have lot of wealth, only servants eat 3 times a day very well, cook and eat. And no, you can't eat sugar, you can't touch ghee, you can't touch that, you can't touch this. No, what is the use of it, you know? So, not only annavan, anna adaha also. You become the enjoyer of food also. Not only one is, what is the use of simply possessing wealth? You must be able to enjoy wealth also. Sometimes we possess, we don't enjoy, my God, it's a papa. Having everything, not able to enjoy means what? That's another mahapa. At least we don't have, we can say don't have. Having everything, you have to see others enjoying, you can't enjoy anything, means it's a mahapapa, isn't it? So he says here, annavan bhavati, annadaha bhavati. Annadaha means one who enjoys food. Not only food, enjoyer of everything. Annadaha bhavati. Then, Mahan Bhavati, Mahan Bhavati. He's a great person. The person of, the man of vision of this truth is really a great person. Mahan Bhavati. Why he is Mahan? Why Mahan? Because Mahatma also we call him. Because for him, all the plurality he sees here, perceptually what is real, the plurality what is perceptually real, only empirically real, absolutely there is no plurality for him. Absolutely there is no duality for him. For a child, when a child looks at the ocean, oh my God, look at this, so many waves are there. And you will shut up, where are the waves? What is this? Only water. Because you are all water samudra jnanis. So you know water is satyam and waves are mithya, waves are plurality of waves is what? Plurality itself is mithya. Wave, ocean, different duality is mithya. Because they're all as though. You are all samudra jala jnanis, that you know what with reference to ocean, water alone is satyam. Like this person is a mahan. You know, samudra jnana mahan. Samudra jala jnana mahan. Where here what now? We know, even though we see all these things, in his vision, all are, he has Brahma sarga viveka jnanam. He know he has discriminative knowledge of satyam mithya. Brahman being only satyam, jagat being mithya is very clear. But he is mahan bhavati. Mahan bhavati. Not only Mahan, but don't think he becomes some pauper. is what? No, he is blessed with everything. Prajaya, he has good progeny also. Okay, don't think he becomes somebody, care of platform. Prajaya, Pashubhir. So he has Praja, he is blessed with the progeny, good progeny. Pashubhi, blessed with the good cattle wealth. And Brahma Varchasena. Brahma Varchas means as some sort of special luster glow which is expressed in the face of a wise person as an expression of his inner leisure, inner tranquility. Because unshakability of the mind, the strength of the mind, the calmness of the mind, the tranquility of the mind of a wise person cannot be disturbed by anything. Nothing can go and stir the mind of a wise person and cause any desire, any agitation in the mind. So tranquil the mind is. That's why in Bhagavad Gita we have these beautiful verses. Second chapter, all the last verses. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apav pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti na kamakami vihaya kamanya sarvan pumamscharati nispruhaha nirmamo nirahankaraha sashanti madhigachati. Because his tranquility is... This tranquility means what now? Completely agitation-free mind. The shantihi. Why there is no agitation at all? Because swarupam is fullness. He is not dependent on the world for his happiness or security. And nothing in the world is respond. He doesn't blame anything, anybody also for his unhappiness. Because there is no unhappiness for him. Therefore he doesn't need to blame anybody for him for that also. Therefore what happened? One who revels in fullness, being for him the self itself being fullness, being independent of the world for his fullness and happiness and security. And therefore whatever he sees, the whole world he goes and know. Even if the person is taken to IKEA, he will not have any interest in anything. And if he taken to this Sainsbury or any shop he's taken to show nothing. Nothing goes and no, I want this. I think you should have it. No. Nothing really can stir this person. Okay? All the Miss Beauty contest he's taken. Suppose all these beauty people, no, they all want to marry you. I don't care. No, he won't be interested in anybody. Why? Because he is person of tranquility. That's called unshakability of the mind, isn't it? The mind is so firm and strong because swarupam is fullness. Therefore, no, all the sense organs can report number of objects. Look at this, that is here. Look at here, this is here. Look at that is there, this is there. All the sense organs report too many about objects of the world. All the objects go there. But all this, what now? All the desires for all these external objects resolve in him. Like what? Yatha samudram apaha pravishanti. Now the rain, it is floods all over, the water flows towards the ocean. And all the water flowing towards the ocean do not really bring about any change on the part of the ocean. It doesn't increase the ocean. It doesn't make the decrease the water in the ocean. This ocean is the ocean. Ocean doesn't become bigger, doesn't become smaller also. There's no reduction or addition of water, does not change the ocean. The same way, how the waters run, flow towards the ocean, they mix with the ocean, they become one with the ocean. Similarly, all the desires also resolved in this person of fullness, which means they are not outside for him to stir and cause any disturbance, isn't it? That is what is dacha, is the person of vision, is the person of absolute relaxation and tranquility. Okay? He is the one emotionally settled person. Okay? Otherwise, we are all emotionally unsettled all the time. We want to settle daughter in life, son in life, husband in life, wife in life, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and we want to settle them all, settle one after the other, settle them, settle them, settle them, get her marriage and get the grandchildren settled, settle, 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 whole whole life we try to settle others and you don't get settled at all. And therefore, here they actually, the emotionally settled, emotional settlement, being emotionally settled is the jnana palam, which is jivan mukti. Okay? That palam is what is said here as what? Mahan bhavati prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena. That brahma varchas implies this. Okay? One remaining emotionally settled, which means one being the person of absolute relaxation and tranquility, thereby that inner tranquility of the person expressed in the face is called brahma varchas. And even for you to be able to see the brahma varchas in other person's face, you'd have some understanding. Otherwise, you can't see other person's brahma varchas also. Anyway, there's another problem, isn't it? For he is blessed with cattle wealth. You all may think, oh, you don't want cows and sheep. Who look after them? You may think. But still, Pashubhihi brahma varchasena. He is blessed with brahma varchas, he is blessed with cattle wealth, and he is blessed with good progeny, and he becomes great, and he has abundance of prosperity, and he becomes the enjoy, he has the best of enjoyment of all forms of wealth. That is what is said here. Not only that, mahan kirtya, he becomes great in terms of fame also. Okay, mahan kirtya mahan bhavati. In terms of fame also, in terms of fame, he is not an ordinary person, he is very mahan bhavati. This is a jnana palam. Now what has been summed up here? The first part of Bhrigavalli is over, wherein Brahma Vidya is briefly presented. And as a result, that means the Jagat Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam, and that Brahman being identical with the Panchakosha Vilakshana Atma also is revealed, and the vision of the Panchakosha Vilakshana Atma being identical with the Jagat Karanam Brahman is the Jivan Muktihi, and which is also said here. Okay, Artha Kama Moksha, all the benefits of knowledge also presented here. With the, so this Brahma Vidya and Brahma Vidya Phalam also here. The benefit of Brahma Vidya also is presented here. With that benefit of knowledge, Jnana Phalam, the sixth Anuvaka is over. Okay? The next Anuvaka begins. A seventh Anuvaka begins. Look at how quick we are today. Now the next Anuvaka, seventh, eighth and ninth. Three Anuvakas. Let me brief you what it is. Hope you are not very hungry, no? Are you hungry? Okay. See, when you go for quickly eating, come, okay, don't delay. If you go for eating. See, this very interesting. Now you can relax. The sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and ninth, in these three Anuvakas, there are certain vows and meditations are presented. Certain vows are given here. And they're all, they're as disciplines required for jnanam. And here, in meditations we take, upasanam is a different type of upasanam here. And this upasanam is called virad upasanam. Virad upasanam. Virad upasanam means what? The Upanishad actually, in order to appreciate even the significance of worship. What is worship? Why do we worship? Even to understand this, you need to have the concept of, need to understand the concept of Ishvara. And here, Upanishad is really helping us to appreciate the whole prapancha as one cosmic organism. Really, one whole thing. We are not able to see it like that. Because this how, first of all, appreciation of Saguna Ishvara, appreciation of Vishwara as a whole is very important. First, in order to be prepared to have the Nirgunam, vision of the Nirgunam Brahma. We don't have Saguna Ishvara understanding. We don't really appreciate what is Sagunam Brahma. Have you ever seen the whole cosmos as Ishvara? We don't see that. Because the whole cosmos is one cosmic organism. Which means the relationship in this universe is symbiotic relationship. Why do you say it's symbiotic? Because everything is connected to everything else. Everything is dependent on everything else. Now, if you ask, take our own physical body. What is our physical body? It is there, so many parts are there, so many organs are there, and so many functions are there. They're all different. Head is different, hands are different, thighs are different, shanks are different, feet are different. But they're all put together is one whole, isn't it? And we say so many organs. You know, lungs, the job of lungs is completely different. Function of heart is different. Function of kidneys are different. The pancreas, the bile sitting somewhere in a small corner, that function is different. The liver is different. All these are different organs. But I tell you, all of them together, even though they're all different, we don't see them as different. All of them are one whole individual organism. Isn't it? Why? Because they're all interconnected. They're all each, you know, somewhere, any problem with one thing, excess of insulin, or lack of insulin, you know, one pancreas has a problem, it is affects these all other organs. Some problem in the heart, it affects all other organs. Some problem in the kidneys, it affects all other organs. Why? Because of the connection. There's no connection, then one can be, without one problem cannot affect other problems. Cannot affect the other organs also. Isn't one problem in one organ affects the all other organs, because they're all interconnected, interrelated, they're all dependent on each other, isn't it? Every organ is dependent on every other organ. Mutually, all of them are interdependent. Therefore, we have to say what now? All these different organs put together is one whole individual organism. In the same way, the whole universe also is one cosmic organism. Everything in this universe is dependent on everything else. Any one given thing being disturbed is what? In fact, it's the disturbance of everything else. That is why nowadays, like a poetic expressions, we hear people saying, if you pluck the flower, you know, star is disturbed. How can a star be disturbed? You pluck the flower here. You know, even the throbbing of butterfly's wings affects the galaxies, which means there is connection. There is connection. Thoughtlessly, when we cut all the really plants, all these trees, etc., and really, we don't think really. In fact, ecological balance, ecological harmony, we have to learn from Upanishad only. Therefore, the whole cosmos is one cosmic organism, which means everything in a disturbance, in a disturbing this order. Like how your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, all of them are functioning within the realm of a given order. Similarly, the whole cosmic organism also is functioned within the realm of an order, and that order, that universal natural law and order also is manifest knowledge only, is also Ishvara. Manifest knowledge is Ishvara, pure knowledge is Brahman. Isn't it? Therefore, the order is also Ishvara here. Therefore, if we say, if we have to live in this world without being disturbed, then how, somehow our activities, our behavior also should not be disturbing anything in the world. If your actions disturb, you will be disturbed. Not only you will be disturbed, isn't it? Everything else is disturbed here. Therefore, always the disturbed will be disturbed. Disturbed, what now again? Contribute for disturbance. Therefore, you have to take care of this. What is the only way? Dharmam chara. Therefore, that is why one has to be conscious of dharma. One has to live a life of dharma. That's the only way we can live our, the lifestyle that we live will be what? Must be in harmony with this universal natural law and order, wherein this universal harmony, no, the symbiotic relationship is not disturbed. And this is maintained. Relationship also has to be maintained. It's not disturbed. Okay, 1-5. So you all can go, have something, tear something, come back. Om. So 7th Anuvaka. 8th Anuvaka, 9th Anuvaka, and all of, in 3 of them, and only the discipline, the vow as a discipline, and meditation. Meditation is also prescribed here. And as I told you, meditation is on Virad Upasanam. And the Virad Upasanam is mainly for us to appreciate the Saguna Ishvara. Saguna Ishvara means what now? Seeing. When you worship Ishvara in one given form, that is Ekarupa Ishvara, isn't it? Ekarupa Bhakti. But when you see the one, you know, the whole, all that is here is Ishvara, Anekarupa Ishvara. So from Ekarupa you have to move on to Aneka, from Aneka to Arupa. So the appreciation of Nirgunam Brahma, the pure knowledge as your own innermost self, the Atma, Ananda Atma, to be able to know that, first of all, you should be able to appreciate Sagunam Brahma. So appreciation of Nirgunam Brahma is possible only if you have the appreciation of Sagunam Brahma. And seeing the whole cosmos as one interconnected, interrelated, you know, cosmic organism. That means, so then that means once you know you are here and how you take care of every organism to maintain the well-being of the whole individual. You know, so you don't say, no, only heart has some problem, what did you have? So what, my lungs are okay, kidneys are okay, why should I be bothered? Don't say that. Because you know any one small problem, you know it affect the whole system, so you take care of everything. Isn't it? Therefore, here also, you have to take care of, for you to be, not to be afflicted by anything in the universe. Now, for you to have that, see, let there be the harmony maintained
universally, for which your contribution is what? Your commitment to live a life of dharma. Living a life of dharma is the only way you can live your life. The only way to live a life without disturbing this universal natural law and order. For which it is very important to, you know, have the appreciation of really the Virat Ishvara, Saguna Ishvara. So Virat Upasanam is presented in a different way here. And in here, the relationship between with the three pairs are presented here. Pairs means each pair of two things. Here each pairs and relationship between two things, which means the relationship between three pairs, you know, is presented here. And relationship also what now here two types of relationship between two things of three pairs is presented here. I tell you what it is now. See, the first relationship is the eater-eaten relationship, consumer-consumed relationship. And another relationship is what? Another sambandha is what? Pratishtha-pratishthita sambandha. Support-supported sambandha. Then annam-annada sambandha. The consumed consumer sambandha, then supported sambandha, relationship. These two types of relationship are, what now, between everything here. So Upanishad presents only what now, only two, the three pairs are presented here. We'll see those first, well, let us see what are those three pairs. See, in the 7th anuvaka, shariram and pranaha, physical body and pranaha form the first pair. So between the pranaha and dehaha, between the annamayaha and pranamayaha, between the dehaha and the pranaha, there is sambandha, consumer-consumed sambandha. Then supporter support sambandha between these two. This is first presented here in the first anuvaka. And which is seeing how they are, there is consumer consumed sambandha between annamaya dehaha and the pranaha, and how there is pratishta pratishtita sambandha, supporter supported relationship between these two. When you see, analyze this, then where is the mind? Your mind is in analyzing this sambandha. That is what is meditation here. Okay, what is now? You see the how the dehaha is, now how there is a relationship between pranaha and dehaha. What relationship? Consumer-consumed relationship and pratishta-pratishtita sambandha. Supported relationship. I'll explain to you, don't worry. The second pair, I'll tell you all the three pairs. The second, in the 8th anuvaka, first let me give you a bird's eye view, then I can elaborate on it. The second, 8th anuvaka, water and fire pair is taken. The sambandha between water and fire. Between the water and fire also, there is consumer-consumed sambandha and support-supported sambandha, relationship. Then the 9th anuvaka, prithivi and akashaha are presented. The connection between the earth and space. Between the earth and space also, there is relationship. There is sambandha. What relationship? Consumer-consumed relationship and support-supported relationship. Okay, so we three pairs are taken. What are they? Dehaha, pranaha, first pair. Then second pair is fire and water, earth and space. Okay, and this relationship, first we have to understand what is annam annadaha sambandha. Annam annada sambandha. What does it mean by saying consumer consumed sambandha? Isn't it? See, when example I give you first. When we all eat food, we are consumers of the food. Isn't it? We means what? Our bodies. And after our death, our body is cremated or buried. What does body becomes now? Body becomes the food. The eater body later on becomes the eaten body. Isn't it? It is called consumer, the same eater. From one angle it is a eater, from another angle it is the eaten. In the same way here, if we say the dehaha is the consumer, prana becomes the consumed, and another angle, prana is the consumer, deha becomes the consumed. Okay, reverse, let reverse it. From one angle, dehaha is the eater, consumer, prana is the consumed. In another angle, prana is the consumer, dehaha is the consumed. And from one angle, deha becomes the pratishtha, support, prana becomes the supported, pratishtitaham, pratishtitaha. From another angle, prana becomes the support, deha becomes the supported. Okay, from two different angles, both become support and the supported. From two different angles, both become consumer and the consumed. So there is these two types of relationship between these, what now, each pair we have to see. Okay, so let us see what it is now first. And first, the seventh anuvaka. So having presented this Brahma Vidya briefly, a brief review of Panchakosha Viveka, now Upanishad 7th Anuvaka introduces the word Annam. First Vratam, first it mentions the Vratam. Vrataha means what now here? Vow as a discipline. Isn't it? What should be the vow? And we may ask why Annam is taken as a, Annam is taken here as a matter for vow here. Because our Annam, the physical body, Annam, Annamayaha Deha, is most of the times our identity is with physical body. Isn't it? And Annam is so important for us. And then all our transactions are based on our identity with the gross body only. Isn't it? So here it begins like this. Annam na nindyat. Am I correct? Okay. Annam na nindyat. So annam na nindyat. Annam here means the first word. Simply it means food. Na nindyat. See, may one not find fault with food. Okay. It doesn't have salt, it has too much of salt, it is not good, it is, and I don't like it. So, annam na nindya. See, it is healthy, health, is it? It is good for health, and it is nutritious, okay, fresh, eat it. About annam na nindya, because this is a vow, it should be a vow, annam na nindya. The simple vow, okay, with that finishes, that's all. Tadvratam.
Tadvratam.
Why annam is so important here? Again, I tell you. See, we start our journey, this analysis of, you know, the search of Brahman. When you use this Panchakosha Viveka, analysis of 5 layers of personality, you start with the grossest physical body only. And for us, the grossest I is what? Grossest form of I is physical body. The grossest form of I, you have to shift where? To subtlest form of I, the consciousness. Therefore, Shankara says here, nicely he says, Dvara Bhutena Brahma Vijnatam Gurum Iva Annam Na Nindyat. So, because this physical body, which is a modified form of food, is the entrance for you to arrive at Brahman. Why? In which way do you are you entering? Through which way do you enter to you to go to? No? How do you reach the subtlest I, the consciousness? From the grossest form of I, the physical body, and you travel through the subtler forms of I, then you arrive at the subtlest form of I, the consciousness. Is it? Therefore, because it is like the guru, it seems. The physical body is like the guru because it makes way. That is why in India, if we go to big, huge temples, you can see so many entrances are there. Not too many entrances. There's too many prakarams are there. You can't go straight to the, if you go to the temple, you can't straightway go and see the temple deity there. You have to first enter from outside a huge campus. Have to walk. Then there's a first entrance comes. Then you walk inside and you have to come around. Okay, 64 people will be standing all attention. You have to say bite first, hello to all of them. Then finish the first circle, prakaram. Then you enter. Again another circle will be there. Again you go inside, then there will be inner. Now we have what now? Sanctum sanctorum. Why many prakarams? Every prakaram stands for one layer of personality. Okay? Kadandu ulla ponadhan kadavul. Okay, why we say here? You have to go passing, then go inside. மனதை கடந்து உடம்பை கடந்து புல்லங்களை பானனை கடந்து புல்லங்களை கடந்து மனதை கடந்து புத்தியை கடந்து உள்ள போனோம். உள்ள போறதில்ல, பிகாஸ் இட்ஸ் யூ ஹேவ் டு என்ட்ரன்ஸ், இஸ்ன்ட் இட்? ஹேவ் டு என்டர். தேர்ஃபோர் தி ஜேர்னி ஆஃப் ஜேர்னி இன் சர்ச் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன் பிகின்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் தி பாயிண்ட்ஸ். இன்ன பிகின்ஸ் விச் பாயிண்ட்? இன் தி பாயிண்ட் ஆஃப் திஸ் பிசிக்கல் பாடி ஓன்லி. This is the beginning point is the physical body and ending point is the consciousness. Right? It stops. You can't search anymore. It stopped there, isn't it? Therefore, that's why we said dead end of the mind, you go and then you go into the cave and you stop there with the eye and there you search and you find the manifest knowledge, and that manifest all results in pure knowledge. Finished, stumbled upon truth. Isn't it? Arrive at the truth. Therefore, annamayaha dehaha happens to be the first gateway, like a gateway to arrive at Brahman. We say here what now? Annam is so, given so much, like the guru. Therefore, annam is taken here for our subject discussion. He says, what is annam? Now, therefore, this body is what now? Modified by the food only. But he says, annam na nindyat. Any food you are given, please now have it with reverence. Have reverence and don't find fault with the food. That is our vratam. Tad vratam. Then he says, now he goes to this two things, what pranaha and dehaha. First he says, Prano,
Pranova annam. Pranova annam. So pranahava annam. See, the prana is the consumer. Prana is the food. Prana is the consumed. Pranahava annam means the pranaha becomes the consumed. Shariramannadam. Annam atti iti annadam. Okay. The consumer of the prana. So prana is the consumed. And consumer of the prana is shariram. How do you say consumer of the prana is shariram? What is prana? Prana is energy only, isn't it? The prana is energy. So this prana in the form of a food, when it is outside, the energy prana in the form of food, when it is eaten, what is prana? Food eaten becomes the prana, isn't it? Food before it, what is the food only? Therefore, the food that is annam, pranahava annam, the energy in the form of food becomes eaten, is what? No, prana, then it is eaten. Pranaha annam. Suppose we inhale oxygen, what does it become? Inhaled oxygen is what? Annam, consumed, isn't it? Inhaled oxygen is consumed prana only. Pranaha va annam. Then, shariramannadam. The prana in the form of food, eaten, is the eaten, then the ones in this, who is the eater then? Body is the eater, isn't it? Physical body is the eater. Food, prana in the form of the food is the eaten. Therefore, pranaha annam. Shariram annadaha. Now between the pranaha and shariram, what is the sambandaha? Anna annada sambandaha. What is prana? Prana is the eaten. Prana in the form of food is eaten. And the physical body is the enjoyer, the consumer of the prana. Then prana. Prane shariram pratishthitam. Prane shariram pratishthitam. Prane shariram pratishthitam.
Prane shariram pratishthitam.
Now we have to stop here. We have to see that before. Then we have to say that not only prana is annam, shariram is annadam. From other angle, what happens? Shariram becomes the annam. Prana becomes the annadaha. Listen me carefully. You have to say that. That Upanishad doesn't say. We have to supply that, okay? First we have to say prana is the consumed, body is the consumer. From another angle, you have to say body is the consumer. The body is the consumed and prana is the consumer. How do you say prana is the consumer? Because when we work very hard, our breath is what now? When you breathe fast, really, and all our stored weight now becomes lost. It's exhausted. If we can lose, it's very good. Very difficult to lose, but still, really, prana, the body becomes the consumed, prana becomes the consumer. When does prana consume the body? Only when all is stored fat and stored everything, when it is exhausted, really, isn't it? The form of energy. When you're exhausted, whenever you work very hard, when you physically are very, very active, really pranas are highly activated. The pranas are activated, then naturally the energy is what? Or the physical body is really, all the weight in the body becomes eaten.
So prana becomes the, for another angle, pranaha is the consumer, body becomes the consumed. Do you see that? You have to see both. How pranaha and dehaha, both are consumed and both are consumers. So from one standpoint, one is a consumer, another one is consumed. Another standpoint, another is consumer, another one is consumed. Which means there's a consumer-consumed sambandha, relationship between annam and pranaha. Deha and pranaha, they both are what? Interdependent. Is it? Once you say annam and annadaha, both are interdependent. And body is dependent on prana, and prana is dependent on body. So now he says, therefore, next one. Prane shariram pratishthitam. Sharire prana pratishthitaha. Now I tell you, prane shariram pratishthitam. Now prane shariram pratishthitam means the, so pratishthitam supported, the body is the support, body is supported by the prana. Body is supported by the prana. In prana, body remains supported. It means body is supported by the prana. How do you say that? If prana leaves the physical body, what happens to the body? Isn't it? You know that very well. Therefore, prana is the prana, body is supported by the prana in terms of life. Now, sharire prana pratishthitaha. Sharire prana pratishthitaha. Now, don't think only body is supported by the prana. Prana also is supported by the body. How prana is supported by the body? We say, see, the prana without the body cannot be functional. Just now Rojaji asked me this question. The prana can be functional only when it is in a locus. Prana without the gross body will be non-functional prana. Non-functional means what? Non-transactable prana. Non-functional prana is non-transactable. Non-transactable prana is as good as non-existent. Therefore, what is that which is support now? There must be physical body. If you are sitting in your office, your status is different. If you come out of the office, you know, evening after coming home is different when you're resting, okay? But here, if you, when you say pushed outside of, you know, get to the office, go, no more job for you, get out. When you say, how do you feel? Isn't it? Similarly, the pranas also, without the office room, jobless. Therefore, the physical body is like the office, which gives them the status of being the officers. Therefore, they are functional. So, body is the support for the prana, and prana is the supported. So, pratishtha means support, and substratum, and pratishthitam means supported. So from one angle, body is the pratishtha, prana is the pratishthitaha, pranaha pratishthitaha. From another angle, pranaha becomes the supported and body is the support. Like this, the pranaha and dehaha are interdependent, and that interdependence is presented here as consumer-consumed relationship and support-supported relationship. Okay? Have you all got it?
Sharire prana pratishthitaha. Sharire prana pratishthitaha. tadetadannamanne pratishthitam tadetadannamanne pratishthitam.
So here two words used, annam anne pratishthitam. One annam stands for pranaha, another annam stands for physical body. Had to be careful. Why? Because okay, the food before eaten is what? Is annam, isn't it? After eaten is what? Prana. Prana, isn't it? They have energy. So we say here, annam number one is prana, annam number two is physical body. Where he says, tadetadannamanne pratishthitam. Same thing is repeated. Don't get confused, okay? Because repetition of the words, don't get confused. One annam means pranaha, another annam means dehaha. You have to understand the meaning of this sentence with reference to the previous sentence. Tadu yetadu annam anne pratishthitam, which means prana is, but no, so prana is supported by the body and body is supported by the prana, which means they're mutually supported, mutually supported also.
Tadetadannamanne pratishthitam, tadetadannamanne pratishthitam.
So we know very clearly now how dehaha and pranaha are interconnected, interlinked, and how they are related, how they are interdependent. In two ways, isn't it? As a consumer and consumed also, they are interdependent. And as a support and supported also, they are interdependent. So both are support for each other and both are supported also from another angle. Therefore, they are mutually interdependent. Okay, this is, we have to just give time for this, analyze how pranaha is the consumer, how deha is the consumed, how deha is the consumer and how pranaha is the consumed, how prana is the pratishtha support, how deha is the supported, how deha is the supported support and prana is the supported, isn't it? This now, give your thought to this, paying attention to this and seeing how they are interdependent is called what now? Upasanam. What upasanam here? This also, this anna, annada, pratishta, pratishtita. Now, prana, deha, sometimes prana, deha, upasanam. Okay, it's meditating upon the sambandha. What sambandha? Anna consumer consumed sambandha, support supported sambandha between annam, pranaha and dehaha is the first meditation. Okay? If you analyze, what do you get? Always you should know what do we get first. Only then we'll think of doing it next. So therefore Upanishad immediately says, come on, wait, let me finish it. Don't be in a hurry. Saya
etadannamanne pratishthitam veda pratitishthati. Dannamanne pratishthitam veda pratitishthati. Annavanannado bhavati. Annavanannado bhavati.
Because the Vedic culture really looks at prosperity as Mahalakshmi. See, we need Lakshmi, no? We need Lakshmi. Therefore, all forms of prosperity and mainly there should not be poverty at all, isn't it? See, poverty comes, therefore, that's why annam, annam, you know, there's abundance of food is there, means, and everything will be, there'll be culture, there'll be dharma, there'll be learning, there'll be knowledge, there'll be understanding, everything is poverty, only the abundance of food. There's a dhanya samriddhi, dhana samriddhi, Lakshmi is so important, and Vedika says, if you give, pay attention to this, you practice this meditation, what all you will get. Shankara is going to tell us a very different benefit later on. We'll wait, have to wait for that benefit. What Shankara says, we'll know later on. But now Upanishad says here, okay, what is the benefit of practicing this meditation? That we'll see later on. Upanishad Shankara is going to say something interesting. And now here you see this. He says, yaha saha, that person, yaha, one who, yetadu annam anne pratishtitam veda. One who meditates upon this supported sambandaha between anna, the dehaha and pranaha. He who, veda here means meditates upon, okay? Veda literally means knows. Always I say knows. Doesn't mean here not K-N-O-W-S. Here meditates. Because every time I told the meaning of the word Veda as knows. Arihidano. And here meditates. Meditates means what? One who dwells upon this fact. This is a fact. Relative fact, isn't it? There's no absolute fact. Really everything is relative only in this world. This is relatively, it's a fact. What is this fact? Everything in this universe is interdependent. See, not least, we are not simply asked to see the interdependence of pranaha and deha alone. Through this, when we see the interdependence of pranaha and deha, and how the one it becomes supported, another becomes supported in different angles, this will help you to see the interdependence of everything here. Nothing in this universe has independent existence and independent perform function. Nothing. Everything is dependent on everything else here. That sort of understanding you will slowly get. Therefore, this is also what, that's why it's called Virad Upasanam. So one who meditates upon, one who really pays attention to this fact and dwells upon this fact of one being support and another being the supported, prana and deha being mutually supported and support, one who meditates upon this, saha pratitishtati, he becomes what now? He becomes the support. He becomes support. Pratitishtati. But now he becomes the support. What does it mean he becomes the support? Means he becomes established. Pratitishtati. How? Annavan annado bhavati. He becomes annavan. He becomes annadaha. He becomes, literally it means the one who has abundance of food is the literal meaning. He becomes very highly prosperous person. One who has abundance of wealth, abundance of riches and abundance of food. And not only he is the one who has abundance of wealth and food, he becomes the enjoyer of abundance of wealth and food also. Annadaha bhavati. Annavan bhavati. Annadaha bhavati. What is this? Time has gone so quickly. Okay. And then, Mahan Bhavati. No, now you'll understand why I decided to do all the mantras together. There's repetition of the same mantras. Look at this. Mahan Bhavati. You all know the meaning. I don't need to tell the meaning now. Now he becomes a great person. Prajaya Pashubhir. Brahma Varchasena. Now he becomes blessed with good progeny, not useless progeny, very good progeny. And then Pashubhi, he becomes blessed with cattle wealth and Brahma Varchas, what now? I told you Brahma Varchas, that glow on the face, which is an expression of unshakable inner tranquility, born of wisdom, Brahma Varchas. And the other person, he is blessed with what now? Fame also. Mahan Kirtya. This will be repeated the whole Upanishad, okay? Annavanan Nado Bhavati, Mahan Bhavati, Prajaya Pashubhir Brahma Varchasena, Annavanan Nado Bhavati, Na mahan bhavati prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena mahan kirtya annavanan nado bhavati mahan bhavati prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena mahan kirtya. It will be repeated. Okay? This is the benefit of all the meditations. So we'll all be interested in meditations. So the next we'll go to the next one quickly.
Annam na parichakshita, nam na parichakshita, tadvratam.
What is the first vow? May you not find fault, criticize the food. Next is what now?
Annam na parichakshita, parichakshita.
Don't disrespect food. Don't waste food. Annam na parichakshita. All of us have to learn, and we have to go and tell the people in our wedding houses also. Okay, throwing lot of food, and even the houses we waste lot of food, and there's something not good. Even all the Sainsbury's, all the shops, they throw away the pack. They see the date and throw away. Even if it's good also. Okay, some old food they have to show. The cooked food is okay. The uncooked grains also they throw. It's all waste, isn't it? It's not right.
Annam na parichakshita, annam na parichakshita.
So, na parichakshita, may not waste food. So, wasting food is disrespecting food. Therefore, tadvratam. So for a spiritual seeker, it must be the vow that he, one should not waste food at all. The basic discipline, idhuve tagarar. Even this simple discipline you cannot follow, where is the question of what in a big knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, tadvratam. Then afterwards, then again what now? Now we are going to the meditation. After this vow, we enter into the meditation. What is the meditation here? Apo. Now here, the meditation is on the relationship between water and the fire. Okay, relationship between water and the fire.
Apo va annam. Apo va annam. Jyotirannadam.
See, apahava annam. Again, here also, between this water and the fire also, we have to see the same relationship. What relationship? Consumer-consumed relationship between water and the fire. Then supported relationship between water and the fire. We have to see the same two relationships between this second pair of fire and water also. Okay, and what is the eater, how it is eaten, we'll go back and see in my flat. Okay, you all welcome, and then come and have a cup of tea if you want, then I'll continue.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.